verses in the Noble Quran with regard to the Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy anil-Munkar, commanding to do the good and prohibiting from the evil. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. It should be among you some group of people who invite you to do goodness, to do good, and to actually command to the righteousness and prohibit other people from committing some evil actions. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the felicitous one. Mm-hmm. This is in chapter Al Imran, verse number 104.
Yes.
You know that in this beautiful verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all said that it should be some people who invite people to righteousness.
Yes.
You know that according to some scholars, Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf, inviting people to the righteousness, is wajib kifai, which means that some educated people, some qualified people, they should invite people to the righteousness.
Yes.
And first of all, it is obligation for all human beings. But if this group, does his actually duty, the duty and the obligation, would be away from other people. This is a meaning of wajib kifai. Mm-hmm. Anyway, according to this verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. First of all, it is invitation to the righteousness. You see,
yes,
how beautiful it is.
Okay.
How can I invite people to be righteous people? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
For example, other ways of invitation is facilitation,
yes,
of doing good actions.
Okay.
For example, if you want to invite people to the decency, you should facilitate the situation in the society in order for people to be righteous people.
Okay.
For example, facilitation of having marriage, mm-hmm, Islamic marriage.
Yes.
It actually reduces people, reduce from other indecent actions,
yes,
and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So the point that I want to make here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these ummah, this group, should be qualified people. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Psychologically, and all equipment they should have, everything should be available for them in order to invite people to the righteousness.
That's right. But Shaykh Rouhani, some people might say that Islamic teachings and the Aimma's teaching are still over there. I mean, there are authentic references in order to refer to and be familiar with the true way of life. So what is the need at all to Amr bin Ma'ruf someone, enjoin someone to do good, or for example, forbid evils? Especially when we take a look at Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his movement, we find that one of his true messages was conveying this one. I mean, in order to invite people to do good and forbid from evil. So the sources and the references, authentic ones, are over there. What is the need at all to the modern understanding of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy an Munkar? I mean, let me pose my question this way. When the authentic resources like the Aimmas, the Quran and the Ahadith are over there, what is the need to some people nowadays in today's world in order to refer to them to find the true way of life?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, let me start my points with this beautiful Persian poem says that اگر بینی که نابینا و چاه است اگر خاموش بنشینی گناه است.
Mm-hmm.
If you see someone that who is about to be in a very dangerous kind of situation, if you do not try to save him from that danger, it is a sin. You are a sinful person. So Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar is this to save people from dangers, This is the humanistic or humanitarian responsibility and duty.
Yes.
It's not only an Islamic duty. As a human being, we are always have this responsibility to save each other from the dangers. Okay?
All right.
So that is why whenever you see someone is doing something wrong and you are 100% sure that if he continue doing that thing, it will have very bad consequences for that person. So as a human being, you have to tell him not to do that anymore because that is dangerous, that is horrific, for example, for that person. It causes lots of troubles and problems for that person. So, from based on these points that I mentioned, we have this important question that what is right, what is wrong?
Yes.
You know, so if you invite some people to do good, to do right things, so first of all, you yourself should know what is right and what is wrong.
Very good.
When it comes to this important question, then, of course, we should know that what human being is in order to understand what is good for human and what is bad for human. First of all, you should know what human is.
Yes.
If you do not know what a human being is, you do not know anything about the nature of human being, then you can never explain anything good and bad for that man.
All right.
Now, this question is that, okay, who can define to us the human being?
Very good.
Who can introduce authentically, completely, comprehensively the human being? Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the originator, as the creator of the human being, He is the most, we can say, a trustworthy kind of creator who knows best that what human being is and what is good for this human being and what is bad for this human being. Then He, as the creator of us, He knows best that who we are and what kind of creature we are and what should not we do. Then, if we want to understand that what are some good things and evil things according to the saying of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to refer to the prophets,
yes,
and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. That's why we are in dire need,
yes,
to refer to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam in order to understand what are the real true things, you know, not the fabricated one, because nowadays you see there are lots of fabricated and false kind of things, ideas that are introduced to people in the modern world as true things, as true ideas.
Yes.
So in order to find out the most authentic and true kind of ideas, we have to refer to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam.
That's right.
So this is the reason that we are in need of referring to them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
When we refer Shaykh Nur Muhammad to Imam al-Hussein's movement, one of the important things was the power of his words and actions. In fact, it very much reminds me of using my voice, I mean, your voice is better to say, for positive change in the world. In fact, it highlights the importance of using my words and actions to promote justice and positive change in the world. When we say promoting justice and positive change in the world, it automatically reminds me of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy an al-Munkar, because both exist over there. Promoting justice and also positive change in the world. So how do you think that the impact of my voice as a follower of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam can change my community?
Of course it can change the community. You know that, first of all, I think we should have, sometimes we have some kind of misunderstanding of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some Muslim people, they understand the Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar to be individual. Of course, some part of the Amr bil Ma'ruf, inviting or promoting to the good, is personal and individual. But maybe the most phase and wider phase of the Amr bil Ma'ruf is societal.
Yes.
You know? And we can sometimes, we can claim that the many commands of the verses of Noble Quran is societal rather than individual. I mean, both of that.
Yes.
But the emphasis is on the societal aspect of that. So, if you want to have the proper Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, you should have some kind of societal perspective of that, not only limited to the individual aspect. My understanding of Amr al-Ma'ruf is that, for example, if you want to invite people to the justice, to be honest, first of all, you should practice it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the many narrations of Ahlul Bayt, we have that invite people to the righteousness by your own practicing, rather than by your time, you know.
Okay.
Another aspect of that is to, for example, have some kind of media episode okay, mm-hmm. or activities on different injustice that I example that I mentioned.
Yes.
To promote some of the episodes, some of the programs on the issue of justice and many other related issues in order to promote good to the society.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's right.
All of that is considered, these are within the concept of Amla Bira'u wa Nahya Anil Munkar. Okay?
That's right.
It is not only verbal, go to the individual and to command him to do the, mm-hmm. this practice. Mm-hmm. Rather, it has very societal level, and it has media activity, it has some clarification by the media.
Yes.
These are very important to have some programs on different Islamic issues in order to invite people to the righteousness. And the other phase is to actually to have some kind of fighting with the injustice.
Again, all right.
It is very important to the systematic injustice.
Okay.
This kind of fighting, it could be actually via media.
Yes.
You have some kind of media fighting with the injustice, systematic injustice to the, for example, oppressive regimes who are supporting the injustice. I think all of that they consider within the framework of Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much. I mean, silence is very much recommended in the religion of Islam. Not talking too much, or for example, not going to extremes in talking to the people, you know, being a chatterbox or over talking to the people. So do you think that in today's world, remaining silent in the face of injustice and oppression is dangerous, Shaykh?
You know, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, according to the Islamic teachings, it has its own conditions.
Yes.
You know, on condition that such and such, you should do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. It's not something absolute or without any kind of or conditionless. So that is why, of course, in some kind of conditions and situations, you do not have any responsibility to do anything, to say anything. You have to keep silent. But in some other conditions and the appropriate situations that you know that your Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar will work, then of course you have to fulfill your responsibility and duty in that respect. That's why it depends. You know, individually, from individual perspective, if sometimes you see someone is doing something wrong, and you are 100% sure that if you tell him not to do that anymore, if you provide him with pieces of advice, he will listen to you,
mm-hmm.
he will care about you, and it will help him. So then, of course, you have this duty to tell him, to share with him your own idea, your own, let's say, observations. But when it comes to the conditions and situations that you see that, of course, if I say something here, it's not only dangerous for my own self, but also dangerous for that person as well. And it will never help neither me nor him nor anyone else. Rather, it causes lots of more dangerous troubles, problems for both of us. Then, of course, in that case, you have no any responsibility, any duty to say anything. You keep silent and just pass.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much. So as you said, the practical Amr bin Ma'ruf, I mean, in action and in words, have their own preconditions. It very much depends on the situation you are in. For example, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, up to an extent through words and then through action, he tried to display, or better say demonstrate, his movement and his process of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. So the strategies must be established over there, and it is a very much critical action. Not everyone is capable of doing that. But at the same time, we as Muslims have some responsibilities about our surroundings, about our society, about our family around. And we are committed to our surroundings in the society. That must not be forgotten too. All right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Nur Muhammad.
My pleasure.
And Shaykh Rouhani for elaboration regarding the concept of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar and the possibility of implementation of that in the modern world. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at pastor.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you. Afi Aman.
Allahu Akbar, jibitni al-Karbala, khuya ya Hussein, dishuf al-Aila. Allahu Akbar, jibitni al-Karbala, khuya ya Hussein, dishuf al-Aila. Wal-Abtal mu'adhara,
كلها صار على الثرى والأبطال مودرة كلها صار على الثرى.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
A report says Israeli far-right groups attacking Gaza aid received $200,000 from the United States regime, Israeli donors. Human rights organizations have said groups attacking aid convoys are at times receiving information and support from the Zionist regime government. Charitable contributions are tax-deductible in the U.S. and occupied territories of Palestine called Israel. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, Israeli far-right groups accused of attacking aid convoys to the Gaza Strip have raised more than $200,000 on crowdfunding sites from donors in the United States and the occupied territories called Israel, where the contributions can be deducted from the individual's taxes. Donations to the groups have poured in on GiveCheck, an Israeli crowdfunding site, and JGive, a U.S. and Israeli crowdfunding site, according to a report by the Associated Press and the Israeli investigation site Shomrim, based on open-source inspections of the website and other public records. Charitable contributions are tax-deductible in the United States and Israel. Groups working to get aid into the besieged Palestinian enclave told the AP and Shomrim that incentivizing these donations by making them tax-deductible runs counter to America's and Israel's stated commitments to allow unlimited food, water, and medicine into Gaza. One of the groups, Mother's March, raised the equivalent of over $125,000 on GiveCheck and $13,000 on JGive. Tezav 9 raised over $85,000 from around 1,500 donors in the United States and Israel on JGive. The Tezav 9 group has been blocking aid convoys en route to Gaza since January, arguing that Palestinians should not be able to access aid until the hostages taken by the resistance movement Hamas on October 7, 2023 are released. The group has claimed responsibility for blocking aid shipments from Jordan in the occupied West Bank and ransacking the aid deliveries from trucks. In June, the U.S. sanctioned Tezav 9, which also has ties to the Zionist regime army, reservists, and Zionist settlers in the occupied West Bank, saying its activities included the blocking, harassing, and damaging of aid shipments. U.S. sanctions freeze any assets held by the group under U.S. jurisdiction and also bans Americans from dealing with the group. Jay Giv told the Associated Press that donations made to Tezav 9 were frozen before the U.S. sanctions were implemented and no funds were delivered to the group. But even groups not sanctioned by the U.S. have used over crowdfunding sites to platform their call for a siege and collective punishment against Palestinians. No to humanitarian aid that grants fuel to the enemy who kills us. No to the hundreds of trucks that pass every day through Karam Abu Salem and drag out the war, Mother's March claimed in recent attempts to crowdfund. According to the report, the Israeli far-right group Torat Lechima, whose Hebrew name translates roughly to combat doctrine, is continuing to crowdfund on behalf of Mother's March on JGIF in the United States. Human rights organizations have said that groups attacking aid convoys are at times receiving information and tacit support from the Zionist regime government, which has chucked aid into the besieged Palestinian enclave. Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem said that an attack in May took place for hours in front of the Zionist regime troops who did not intervene. The organization said this flies in the face of the CIJ-ICJ International Court of Justice that issued provisional measures to force Israel to enable humanitarian assistance. Meanwhile, the Associated Press wrote, under American pressure, Israel has pledged to deliver large quantities of humanitarian aid into the war-ravaged Gaza Strip, but at the same time, the U.S. and Israel have allowed tax-deductible donations to far-right groups that have blocked that aid from being delivered. Three groups that have prevented humanitarian aid from reaching Gaza, including one accused of looting or destroying supplies, have raised more than $200,000 from donors in the U.S. and Israel. The Associated Press and the Israeli investigative site Shomrim have found in an examination of crowdfunding website and other public records. Incentivizing these donations by making them tax deductible runs counter to America's and Israel's stated commitments to allow unlimited food, water, and medicine into Gaza, say groups working to get more aid into the territory. Donations have continued even after the U.S. imposed sanctions against one of these groups.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. By Allah's name, we start in this day, today, Saturday, 14th of Muharram, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Tir, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of July, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Salam to all of you. This is today's special, and in this part, some parts of Ziyara Nahya. Salutation on Imam Hussein by Imam Mahdi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salamu ala salihin alladhi tawajjahu Allah bikaramati. السلام على إبراهيم الذي حباه الله بخلته السلام على إسماعيل الذي فداه الله بذبح عظيم من جنته السلام على إسحاق الذي جعل الله النبوة في ذريته السلام على يعقوب الذي رد الله عليه بصره برحمته
Peace be upon Saleh, whom Allah crowned with his generosity. Peace be upon Ibrahim, who Allah endowed with his friendship. Peace be upon Ismail, whom Allah ransomed with a great sacrifice from his heaven. Peace be upon Ishaq, in whose progeny Allah placed prophethood. Peace be upon Yaqub, from whom Allah restored his sight by his mercy.
Standing here alone, on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry. While innocent children die Hussein has said goodbye Praying some of them survive The torture and the heat They can't bear to watch him leave They cry out, Hussein, Ya Hussein.
As I told you in the previous episode of today's special, we open one chapter, and that is our response to Imam Hussein's call for help. Imam Hussein must be introduced to mankind and followed as a role model by all people, not merely by Muslims. Not much effort is needed. We simply need to ensure that people come to know the realities of Imam al-Hussein and the event of Karbala. Then he himself would do the rest. We should not keep the Imam for ourselves. We should find our how to share by using different arts, skills, and the talents to represent the Imam's life to others. Just as Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Muhammad played key roles, Imam Hussein also did so in preserving the path to the prophets, as articulated and illustrated by Ibrahim, the prophet, and paved the way for establishing the ideal community, which in turn would establish universal justice, universal equality, and dignity for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to today's special from IRB English Radio. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about the famous motto or the famous cry of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam that says, Hal min nasirin yansuruni. The lesson that the martyrs of Karbala plain have given to the history for all ages with their struggle and bravery should be expressed in this way. All of them stood before martyrdom to teach all men, women, children, and all old and young people in the history that how they should live, if they can, and how to die, if they can't. The generations after Ashura, our generation, and the generations after us are the inheritors of a great trust that Hussein alayhi salam and his companions created in the plain of Karbala. And following their struggle, we are the inheritors of the most precious trust that were created with jihads and martyrdom and with great human values have been provided in the history of Islam. And we are the heirs of all of them. And we are responsible for creating a nation of our own to be an example for humanity. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. This is addressing us, meaning, and thus we have made you nation that you may be the bearers of witness to the people, and the messenger may be a bearer of witness to you, and we did not make that which you would have to be. In exchange for this heritage, the trust has been given to humans in all ages and generations. A human and religious mission has been drawn for them, and one should be alert to the negligence that humans may accidentally or intentionally commit.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein. And in this episode, we have a lesson from Karbala, and that is never accepting humiliation. Although it has been painted that it was Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family who were the ones humiliated in the Battle of Karbala and its aftermath, the honor will always rest with the Imam, peace be upon him, and not Yazid. Imam Hussein alayhi salam could have easily given allegiance to Yazid in Medina, but this would bring humiliation in that the essence of Islam would be destroyed in front of him by Yazid. Imam Hussein's refusal to pledge allegiance to a tyrant is an important lesson for those who stay silent in front of the oppressors, in that dying is more honorable than to live with humiliation, something which Abu Abdullah himself mentioned in a speech.
Hope you have instilled in our heart, in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul, in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked.
The continuation of today's special, a role model for people of all ages, Imam Hussein. It's a glorious panorama in history which has been presented to the entire humanity. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, prepared himself for such a day. Of course, the entire 50-plus year life of Hussein ibn Ali is a lesson. His childhood is a lesson. His youth is a lesson. His behavior during his imamate is a lesson. And his behavior after the martyrdom of Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, is a lesson. It was not the case that Imam Hussein's responsibility was confined to the last day. However, the event of Karbala enjoys such greatness and brightness that like a sun, it overshadows all the other lights.
Sheikh Usama Al-Attar.
Inspirational leaders give clear communication. Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam gave clear communication to his companions. Inspirational leader make the vision and the goal very apparent to their followers. This is what we are fighting for. We are fighting for the Akhirah. We are fighting for the religion of Islam. And therefore, people loved him. The message was clear. He was transparent that we are not going to survive this battle. We're going to be killed. However, من لحق بنا, one who follows us, he will be martyred. يستشهد. راح يستشهد. ومن تخلف عنا لم يشهد الفتح. شوفوا التعبير اللطيف. One who follows us, he said it very clearly. One who follows us will be martyred. يعني if you come, you're going to be killed. There's no way around it. However, if you choose not to support us, if you don't want to come, you will miss out the victory. You'll miss the victory. And that's why when we read the ziyarah of the shuhada, we say, فَيَا لَيْتَنَا كُنَّا مَعَكُمْ شو؟ فَنَفُوز. هذا هو النصر. هذا النصر. هذا هو الفوز. فنفوز فوزا عظيما. We wish we were with you so we would die with you. This is the victory where his voice prevails. ظنوا أن قتل الحسين يزيدهم بل قتل الحسين يزيدا. They think that their Yazid killed al-Imam al-Hussein. Rather, on the day of Ashura, Imam al-Hussein killed Yazid. Where is Yazid? He doesn't even have a qabr. And where is al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? Where is the call of al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? Zainab alayhi salam clearly told Yazid, فَكِدْ كَيْدَكْ وَسْعَ سَعْيَكْ وَنَاصِبْ جُهْدَكْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَنْ تَمْحُوا ذِكْرَنَا وَلَنْ تُمِيتْ وَحْيَنَا. لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنَ. لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنَ. لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنَ.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much, and inshallah we continue to know about Karbala and the event of Ashura. Till then, please keep us in your dua and supplication, and fi amanillah.
Allahumma ij'al mahya ya mahya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
ما رو هدایت میکنه.
It guides us through life.
همه چیز رو تعلیم داده.
It has taught us everything.
باید آموخت. باید فهمید.
We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
و اونگاه پیاده کردن این مفاهیم در واقعیت زندگی است.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب الله.
Palestine declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson. This is Palestine Declassified. We're the only show that's dedicated to investigating and exposing the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. In today's show, we'll be discussing the increasingly desperate measures being taken by the Zionist entity via its assets to counter the growing support for the Palestinian cause around the world. A new Zionist troll farm that was established last year is one such example. Latif Abu Chakra has this report about the sinister tactics being deployed by the so-called Shirion Collective.
Shirion Collective is an ultra-Zionist troll farm dedicated to targeting pro-Palestine citizens for social harm, including embarrassment, loss of employment or earnings, or in some cases, threats and violence. It started in late 2023 and claimed to have members in US, Canada and the UK. It uses the technique known as doxing, meaning it publishes the personal details, including photographs and home addresses. It also offers a bounty for disclosure of useful information. In late 2023, there were indications that the collective was becoming active in Australia. In December 2023, a Sydney resident named Theo had a picture of his house and his address posted to a Facebook group. He had raised a Palestinian flag and placed a blackboard with messages critical of Israel in front of his home. Less than 2 weeks later, a jerry can with rags stuffed into it and a disposable lighter and large bolts were placed on the bonnet of his car with a message, "Enough, take down the flag, one chance." In February this year, the Shirion Collective launched an infiltration campaign of the pro-Palestine movement, promising that the Operation Global Insight to recruit infiltrators, individuals who can maintain cool, calm, and collected demeanors under triggering Jew hate and pressure, volunteers willing to wear kufiyas and walk in these demonstrations masked, individuals with Arabic-sounding names and Middle Eastern appearance may be uniquely positioned for deeper infiltration and will receive cash compensation for their vital role in our operation. Those signing up were promised you will be provided an hour-long basic training by one of our ex-Mossad team leads. there are indications that the announcement may have been simply intended to intimidate demonstrators, as implied by messages on its Telegram channel. "We won't need to do anything," one volunteer wrote. "They, supporters of Palestine, will 1. Tone down, 2. Police their own, 3. Maybe even beat up their own, just because they think that those are one of us." And all accomplished by one tweet. Doesn't even cost a cent. There are other indications that the group is involved in psychological warfare, such as its claim to be developing a sophisticated AI tool to produce fake materials with which to attack pro-Palestine campaigners. The pro-Israel AI Maccabee has never been launched. Shirion voices or boosts Islamophobia and anti-Palestinian hate while celebrating death and destruction in Gaza and violence against their supporters in the West. It has repeatedly celebrated the deaths of Palestinians in Gaza, including Palestinian journalists and children. One question raised by this is who or what is behind the anonymous group, and to what ideas and ideologies are they attached?
Joining me in the studio, as usual, is our resident expert and eminent scholarly critic of Israel, David Miller. David's a senior research fellow at the Centre for Islam and Global Affairs at Istanbul's AIM University and is a co-director of the lobbying watchdog Spinwatch. Today's guest contributor is the founder of Stop Zionist Hate, Abdullah Hassan. Abdullah's fearless activism has seen him doxxed by a fanatical pro-Israel group called the Canary Mission, and he's also been threatened by the Shirion Collective. Welcome to the show. Hassan, you run the very successful Stop Zionist Hate campaign. Just give us a flavour of what it does, will you?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was created in early November, and it was meant to sort of address the power imbalance that, you know, you see on X and Instagram. They're large, you know, well-funded organizations that are pro-Israeli that, you know, harass people for simply holding a Palestinian flag or saying Free Palestine. And, you know, as your, you know, co-host was saying, you know, they dox these individuals, they provide personal details, private information, such as their, you know, home address, their employers. And, you know, the goal is to make it uncomfortable for people to express views in favor of Palestine in the United States. And, you know, to counteract that, we are fighting back and doing the same thing. But the only difference is that we're actually exposing people who incite violence, who espouse extremely hateful things. You know, they say, we've exposed doctors and lawyers who say, flatten Gaza, kill every Gazan, kill every Palestinian, we should turn Gaza into a parking lot, etc. Whereas they harass people for simply, you know, holding a Palestinian flag, which is not, you know, anything violent or anything, you know, remotely threatening.
Yes, indeed. But David, I mean, Latifa's report gave us a glimpse, didn't it? Just of how nasty and vindictive the Shirion Collective really is. I mean, what do you make of them offering bounties for information about Palestinians to expose Palestinian activists?
Well, I mean, this is the key contrast, and it's very interesting to hear Hassan talk there about Stop Zionist Hate and the massive contrast and distinction there is between its activities and the work of Shirion Collective, which, of course, is actually, in, you know, not only offering money and on people's heads, effectively, but also actually encouraging violence. And we saw the example in the film there of an Australian activist who was threatened, and then he found outside his home a jerry can with petrol and the like. So that's what they're doing. And of course, the other distinction is that these people are racists. Stop Zionist Hate is an anti-racist adventure. So we see a fundamental contrast between the strategies of the pro-Palestine movement and the Zionist movement, and that's the key thing to keep hold of.
No, indeed. Well, Abdullah, I mean, you were doxxed and then attacked by Shirion, weren't you? I mean, what was that? Just give us a flavour. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, when we targeted people, we didn't dox them. We were very, you know, nice to these people. I even, you know, received DMs from this lady that we exposed for saying something extremely hateful towards Palestinians. And, you know, I felt bad for her, so I decided to delete the post. But once, you know, my identity was exposed, you know, that, you know, niceness was not reciprocated in any way by these accounts. I mean, these accounts, you know, like the Shirion Collective, are completely ruthless. And they made up things. You know, they said I was wanted by the FBI, which I obviously wasn't. They said, you know, they put a bounty on my head. I've received, you know, countless death threats, etc. And, you know, the crazy thing is these, as your, you know, colleague was saying, there's ex-Mossad agents working in these organizations. These organizations are funded by, you know, Israeli interests. So this is not some, this is not an internal battle. This is, you know, a foreign country harassing and exerting influence on U.S. politics. And that's what we're sort of exposing. And that's what's been exposed. You know, they've exposed themselves over the past few months. Whereas Stop Zionist Hate is completely U.S.-based. We don't receive money from any foreign country or any foreign entity. And the irony is, you know, they're accusing us of, you know, being funded by Hamas and Qatar. You know, decent-sized accounts have said that. And it's not true at all. It's, they're sort of, you know, admitting what they themselves do. They're the ones that are funded by a foreign country. We don't receive donations anymore, but we used to receive donations only from the U.S., whereas this, our opposition is, you know, a foreign-controlled sort of political machine.
Yeah, no, indeed. David, I mean, Shirian's whole modus operandi seems to be based around intimidation, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, there's intimidation in their daily activities, the doxing of people, the threatening of people, and intimidation in their sort of strategic activities, where they say, you know, we're offering money for people to go in undercover in the Palestinian movement. It looks like that was an attempt just to intimidate, but it may well be that they are actually also doing that. But we don't know. I mean, it's difficult to tell. And when we find out who the guy is, then you can tell a bit more about the operations. But it absolutely, this is about intimidation. It's about trying to stop anyone voicing pro-Palestine sentiments under threat of being doxxed or identified or having themselves reported to their employer.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Abdullah, I mean, how effective are Shirian's intimidatory tactics then, do you think?
To be honest, that particular account I don't think is that effective. It's mostly scare tactics. And, you know, the guy behind it, I mean, I don't want to, you know, go into details. You know, he's already been exposed on X, but he's not a professional guy. He's not, no. It doesn't seem like he's associated with Canary Mission. He wanted to take credit for doxing me and others, but I don't think it's super effective. And if you look at, you know, the engagement on X, a lot of their posts receive many less likes than, you know, comments going against them. So they get ratioed. You know, on X, it's called a ratio when you comment on a post and get more likes than the original post. So just based on that, you see that they're not very popular on X with any audience, you know, with the U.S. audience, with the Middle East audience, with even people who are neutral on the topic. They see that, you know, their tactics involve harassment and inciting violence. And as you said, they're very, you know, sneaky with their tactics. They want to hire people with a Middle Eastern name to go into these pro-Palestine rallies and to sort of cause chaos and make it look like the pro-Palestine protests in the U.S., which have been overwhelmingly peaceful, overwhelmingly diverse. They want to make it look like it's just these Muslim extremists going on the streets and causing violence, which is not the case at all.
No, indeed. It does a lot there that, like you say, they're cutting through. But David, I mean, Shirian's entire focus is on spewing Islamophobic and, you know, anti-Palestinian racism, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, all of their activities are pretty vile, but it's kind of all of a piece with the rest of the output of the broad Zionist movement. I don't just mean the organizations, but also the individuals, many of which have been exposed by Stop Zionist Hate. You know, the kind of vitriolic, kill them all, even the children, rape all the women, it's kind of comments that you get from across the whole range of Zionist public sphere, if you like. I mean, that's something which I think is new to many, many people. And it's not just that they see the genocide in Gaza and are repulsed by it, ordinary people, but they also see these Zionists who are celebrating the very thing that the whole world is aghast at. And I think that's the interesting thing is that, in terms of their success, is that they turn people off at a much, much faster rate than the traction they get for the kind of posts that they put out. So that's an indication that, of course, as we know, they're failing. They've lost the battle for public opinion all over the world. And, of course, in Palestine itself, they're losing the battle, the military battle against the resistance.
I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today, so I'd like to thank our guest, Abdullah Hassan, and of course our resident expert, Professor David Miller. So until next time, when I hope you'll join us again on Palestine Declassified, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Day 288 of U.S.-Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli regime continues with indiscriminate bombings of Palestinian territory, killing more civilians. The International Court of Justice says Israel's practices and policies in occupied Palestinian territory are in grave violation of international law. As Cyprus observes anniversary